This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Here in Hawaii, it is sometimes difficult to know that the holidays are right around the corner. Thanksgiving and Christmas bring great opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ with our own loved ones. In this message entitled Harvest, Pastor Scott discusses how we should begin now to prepare for the future harvest opportunities. This message was delivered on November 4th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
To multiply us and bless us when we give of our finances and of our time and our generosity. Lord, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Usher, amen. What do you think, Frank? Go ahead, Usher. Thank you, ushers. Well, good morning, New Hope. Oh, we had a fun week this week over here. Wednesday night we did a Puna kids party over here, and we had trunk or treat. You should have seen the decorations on the trunks that they did. And I think next year we're gonna just have a trunk decorating contest. Because there were lights, music, there were pumpkins in the trunk. There were, one trunk was a Cookie Monster. It was really cool. I'll show you the picture later. We had hands coming out of the trunk, lights, and the kids got candies. We served 6 gallons of chili. Gone. 6 gallons. Next year, I think we're going to have to make 8 gallons of chili. And 250 hot dogs went out to the community. Two of our children from this church won bicycles. That's cool. Like, our kids won bicycles. Of all the kids who came, our kids won the two bikes. And I was like, wow, they were so blessed. Sorry, Pastor Aaron, when he came this morning, the bikes were stuffed in the container because there was no way to get them home. And I know he had to move them out of the way to get things out. And then Friday, we had Operation Christmas Child. We had a packing party. We packed over 50 boxes. And give yourselves a hand. We had so much fun doing that. And so these are the extra boxes. So if you want to take one before you leave, if you miss and you want to do one on your own, go ahead, fill it up, take it onto Big Island Toyota. I know it blesses others. Every year I see the Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child booth at our conference, and I get to talk to them and I get to tell them what we do as a church, that we send out maybe close to 100 boxes every year. And you guys, one day when you get to heaven, some little kid is going to come up to you and say thank you, and he's like, for what? For these boxes. Amen. Wow, what a great week we had. It was just so joyful to be here. Especially Wednesday, we had so much fun passing out candies to the little kids and then sending them home on the sugar rush. Yeah. It's always good. We always do that for church functions. Feed your kids candy and then send them home with you. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I mean, from when I was growing up, that was the only time that I could freely eat candy was Halloween. Other than that, candy was like hardly ever in my diet, which was sad. Well, hey, man, can you believe it? It's November. Wow, where did the year go, yeah? Where did the year go? Well, they say, right? You know, when time speeds up and it gets faster and faster, it usually means you're going downhill. And for the young, remember when we were kids? It took forever to get to November, December. It was like, felt like 5 years just to get to this time. And then when you're older, you blink an eye in January, and it's like, oh, it's November already. Son of a gun. Well, I am trying to get ready for a great holiday season. How about you? You guys are ready? You know, this time of the year, it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. Yet, for many people, despite the music, the bright lights, the snowmen, how many of you have ugly sweater parties? Yeah. I know my wife has a couple in the closet for when they do have it. You know, the hot chocolate. And I like the cold weather. Because when it's really cold, the Cokie frogs are silent. Seriously, in the morning when it's cold, listen. It's like quiet. It's like, yeah, they're all over there. You're shivering and they can't make those noises. And all these things. And sometimes people just cannot get into that Christmas spirit. Some of us may be single, unmarried, maybe not dating. Maybe you lost someone. Maybe you got divorced. And Christmas is a reminder of like, oh, I'm all alone. I have nobody to call my own. Sometimes as a single people, you may feel like, why am I single? I don't have someone to call my sweetheart. And sometimes you feel like you're being punished. But instead of feeling like that, use the season to discover who you are and whose you are. What you like, what you dislike. What is a priority? And use the time to strengthen the family and your friend relationship. Use this time, this season, to evaluate whether or not you are maximizing all that God has put in your hand to do. God given you these things and think, am I using it? Am I maximizing it? And there's people out there with no knowledge of Christ and what the season is about. And for us as Christians, it should be the most wonderful time of the year because we know the meaning of the season and we're not going to get caught up in the commercialism of it. You may be thinking like, why am I talking about Christmas? We haven't reached Thanksgiving yet. Holy moly, slow down. Well, I am planning ahead. I am planning ahead because November, December, I want us to be able to reach that harvest that the Bible talks about that is out there. Could you imagine your worst opponent, your worst enemy, someone at work or could come in your best ally? Could you imagine your neighbor that you don't like becoming the one to watch your house when you're not there? Could you imagine your family, your friends, your acquaintances, your coworkers sitting right next to you in this fellowship, worshiping God with you, becoming more Christ-like, becoming better people, better neighbors, better workers, better friends? This can happen if we're willing to humble ourselves and reach out to others. People say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but put yourselves in the shoes of someone who lost a spouse, a child, maybe their children are away at college. And as parents, if your children are away at college or has been away and they couldn't come back for the holidays, you know that feeling like, oh man, your heart hurts. Think about those college kids that are here that can't get back home. There is always someone we can reach out to. You may not be lonely because you have this big, wonderful family right here. But it doesn't mean that we do nothing about it. If we would think, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus lives in you. And when he ascended to heaven, we became the body of Christ to carry out his work. Amen? In Matthew 9, 35 to 38, as Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Sounds like some, you know, when you walk through the malls in our city and you look at the people, that's what it looks like. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Jesus was going through the towns and the villages of Israel, teaching, preaching about his kingdom, healing people to show that he was God. And this nature, what he was doing, attracted large crowds. And he looked at the people, and I think his heart broke because they were harassed. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, a lot of times when I go shopping with my wife, I, you know, shopping and me, this is not, it's not compatible, like oil and water. But I go because I love my wife. I sit down and I watch people and I wonder if they're saved or they're just like aimlessly walking, going through the motions. I gotta get this, I gotta get that. Without, it's like sheep without a shepherd, wandering aimlessly. And I quietly sit there and I pray for them. It's like when I went to Las Vegas and I seen all these older people with canes and walkers and mobile scooters. And I'm thinking, if they don't know Christ, this is the happiest they're ever going to be. And when life is over, that is it. And I started feeling sad. It's like, how can we reach these people? And a lot of them are from Hawaii. They're from here. And so I started praying, like, Lord, how can we reach these people? How can we let them know, come at the end of their life, there will be more joy in heaven than there would be in Las Vegas, spending all their retirement money? And I was, like, really sad. You see, I think that's what it was like when Jesus was walking around, looking at these people. They were supposed to be led by the religious leaders, but they were misled. The religious leaders was keeping these people from finding a true meaning with true meaningful relationship with the shepherd, Christ. And they were helpless. So he said to us, pray that we would send out workers for the harvest. The harvest was ready. And we are the workers. The person on your left, the person on your right. We get to go out and reach the harvest. I'm telling you this now so that we can be prepared from now until the end of the year. And always, we gotta keep reaching the harvest. It's always there. But especially during Christmas and Easter, it's more bountiful and we get to do this. So here's the thing. Number one, start praying where your harvest is. Because your harvest field might be different from my harvest field. Your harvest field might be your workplace. And I don't know where all of you work, so it might not be my harvest field. Your harvest field is not another Christian church, okay? We're not going to go and go grab some people they already harvested from another church. It's like somebody's picking all the oranges and you go over there and steal their oranges out of their bin. No. Your harvest might be your neighbor. Your harvest might be your own family. How many of you got family members that are not saved? I think everybody got somebody in their family that's not saved. That might be your harvest field. Some of you might, your harvest field Might be a school where you go to. Maybe where you work. Man, if you could get all your coworkers saved, working together and worshiping God where you were, imagine what your job would be like. You might be miserable now because you work with a whole bunch of unsaved people who talk nasty and cuss and swear. And if that's you, write some prayer requests down on that tab so we can pray for you, because sometimes I don't know where you work, and when I visit you, I realize that your workplace is very hostile because of the conditions that you work in. And, you know, if we pray for you, it might help. So start praying where your harvest is. It's very important. Matthew 9:36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. How many of you work in a place that they're distressed and they just like lost, right? You work in a place like that, fill out those prayer requests. We'll pray for you. I mean, look around, my family. Things are not good. People are dying out there without hope. Drug use is all around us. People are stealing cars from people's driveways. I mean, sometimes you're just afraid to go to the store because you come out, your car might be gone. Well, if that happens, then maybe God's saying it's time for you to get a new one. We got a couple of car salesmen in here, right? I'm sure they hook you up. We were put here in Hilo, in your job, in your home, for such a time as this. So pray and ask God, who is it that you need to share the good news with? Who is it that I need to give an invitation so that they can get to know Jesus? And you know what? That is the best gift ever. Look at your city. Look at your neighborhood. And if you, honestly, if you can look at that and have no compassion, then man, get on your knees and ask God to give you that heart of compassion. Tell him to remove that heart of stone and give you that heart of compassion. Because if you can look at this town and this city and this neighborhood and not feel a thing, that is sad. Think about it. Ask God to give you that heart of compassion. You know that song that says, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours? What breaks his heart? What do you think? The lost people, they're heading for hell. And they don't even know it. Think about that. Isn't that sad? Some of them are your relatives. Some of them are your brothers and sisters. Some might be your parents, your children. Don't let another year, another season, another harvest time pass you by. Life is too precious to be lost. Go and look for them. How many of you have phones? When was the last time you went to your contacts and looked through every single one of them and think, well, I haven't seen this? You know, I look through my contacts and say, who is this? I get text messages from people all over the country, from our denomination and from our office. And I'm thinking like, and I save their numbers and I save their first name and I don't know their last name. And I go through my directory and it's like, who is this? And some of them, I get two first names, the same name, different numbers. And they're like, who is that? Go through that. Pray for them. Invite them. Do something. Don't sit still. Go through your contacts, your family and friends, even the guys who don't live here, and start praying for them, because the harvest is there. We just need to pray for them and get them saved. Amen? The Bible tells us to go. And I know I said this before, and I'll keep saying again. Go and make disciples. Before, I used to wait. I wonder why nobody came. Because that's not how it works. The Bible said, go and make disciples. Not wait. You know, when you look for a job, you don't sit on your front porch and wait for the job to come. Right? If you did, you'd still be unemployed. Some of you are still unemployed. Maybe you're on your porch waiting. The Bible says to go. Go to that harvest field where God calls you to. Man, if you wanted, you know, like mangoes, they're so precious, yeah, over here. They're like gold. You know, I grew up in Pearl City, and it was mango season. I had to climb that tree every year. And that's why I don't even care for mangoes now. I bring them home, and I give them away to my wife because they love it. But I grew up eating mangoes, and then the mangoes were high up in the tree. We went up, and we climbed, and we got it. The harvest is there, and we went to get it. I didn't wait for the mango to get overripe, drop 20 feet, hit the ground, all bashed and bruised, then pick it up and eat it. No. We went up and we got it. Don't wait for the harvest field to rot and die, buried in the ground, and they're standing in judgment, and they said, well, nobody told me. And you were one of their friends. The harvest is there. Go climb the mango tree, get the mango, bring it down, right? The lychee tree too, right? Sometimes you go, you look at it like, oh. And by the time it falls down, it's like too late. It's rotten. So go. Go get that harvest before it's too late. Number two, ask for help. You know when you got to climb that mango tree? And then you got to pick two or three mangoes. Kind of hard for climb down with your hands full, yeah? You're holding two or three mangoes in your shirt. And it's like, how am I going to get down? No, you get help. And somebody's down there and you drop them and they catch them. Hopefully they catch them, right? When I was really young, my dad would climb up. And he would drop them down to me. And when I dropped it, oh boy. You eating that one, son. Ask for help. Because if my dad went up that tree and he picked it and he couldn't climb down, he'd be stuck up in that tree. So you go get the harvest. Go ask for help. Maybe we need to tag team. You tell them. And then pretty soon, when five guys from this church invite them, they will say, hey, maybe I should go to church, yeah? Hello? Yes. It's a fun place. Amen? Don't we have fun here? Am I boring? Somebody said, yeah? No? Yeah? That's why we have strong coffee, right? To keep you awake. And that's why I don't talk for 2 hours. Because if not, nobody would listen. Matthew 9:38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. Ask. You know, one of our ladies who comes to this church, she wanted me to come to her workplace to pray over the facility. So I early one morning, I met her. We went to her workplace. I anointed that place with oil and prayed over her entire complex. She asked for help. I went out and helped. Ask for help. We can come to your classroom. We can come to your office. We can anoint that place with oil. We can pray for you. We team up with you. The harvest is ready. The kingdom is at hand. But additional labors were necessary to complete the harvest. Whether it's physical help, prayer for boldness, even that person will be open to an invitation, ask for help. The tab on your bulletin, write down names. Can you pray for my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, my auntie, my uncle, my neighbor? ask for help. And we can pray. How many of you believe that God answers prayers? Yeah, look at all the hands. But every week we get what, Mike? We get like 2 prayer requests, maybe 3. Yeah, you can pray on your own, but I believe when we team up and pray, greater things can happen. You think if I go and try and harvest everything by myself, man, I would miss so many places. Ask people for help. Pray with people. We want to reach this harvest. You know, if everybody was to invite 1 or 2 people, this place will double. And then what? Then we get to grab like 40 or 50 of them with a pastor and send them out so we can stay like this. I love this place. I love the size that we have because it's so intimate and so personal. And I'm not saying that we want to grow. We don't want to grow to 300, 400, whatever God wills. But I would love to build this up so we can send more out, start a new church, and they reach just as much more people as we can. Amen? But if we were to do that, then we would just have to tell Pastor Aaron, we'd have to do 2 services and the worship team. You see how much people up there? We got enough to do 2 worship teams. Yeah, I mean, that is so beautiful, so powerful. So here it is. Hey. We're going to do communion at the end, but before we do communion, I'm going to ask you this. Okay. And you may be shy. And like Kahia said, God did not give you the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. I always tell myself that when I got to go in the back or inside there early in the morning when I know the spiders are around. Or if you ever been to Universal Studios and there was the Walking Dead maze, I always tell myself, God did not give me the spirit of fear or timidity. Nothing in here can harm me. And I go in there and I walk right through. Ha! They don't scare me. Because God did not give it the spirit of fear or timidity. So some of you may be like, how do I share with my family? How do I share with my friends? If you desire to be bold, you know like that song, be bold, be strong. The Lord our God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Right? For the Lord our God is with thee. If you desire boldness, stand up because I want to pray for you. Be bold right now by just standing up. Anybody, be bold. Right there, yeah. If you desire boldness to share the gospel, and if you desire the boldness just to stand up, man, I want to pray for you. So, Lord, you have seen those who are standing. They said, I want the boldness to go and share the good news with those who are walking and they're heading to hell and they don't know it. Lord, you have seen those who are standing. They said, I want the boldness to be able to go share you with other people because you did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So, Lord, I pray as they ask that you would give them the Holy Spirit, the power, the boldness that they need to share the good news. Wherever you call them to their harvest field, wherever it may be, home, work, the grocery store, their neighborhood, wherever it may be, empower them, Lord. Give them the words to say. They don't have to worry about what to think, what to say, but you would give them the words to say that would reach this world for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may sit down. Yes. Woo! So, now, when you get to that harvest field and you open your mouth, God is going to speak. Amen. and stuff are going to come out. And he's like, holy smoke, did that come out of my mouth? Yes, it did, because God is with you. He did not give you the spirit of fear. And if you need help, hey, just ask. We are there to help you, to pray for you, even to go with you, to hold your hand. Remember when you was a little kid and you had to go to the doctor and your mother or your father took you by the hand, took you into that doctor's office and held you tight when they got that needle and stuck it in your arm? Yeah, we are there to help you. Same thing. God is there. We are there. Physically, spiritually, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, and we'll go with you. Amen? Well, we're going to have James come up, and would you welcome James? And he is going to lead us in communion. Thank God that I did not forget the cups, because like last month, you know that's on me. Thank you for not taking me out back and stoning me, because I got the cups in. All right, James, here you go. Go for it, my brother. He's praying for boldness right now.
Good morning. That was a good message. And earlier this week, I was doing my devotions. And it was every time I pray before devotion, I ask God to speak to me. And the scripture came out, and it was about communion. It was Mark 14:18. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me will betray me. And that's the scripture that stuck out to me that day. And as we are Christians, at some time in our life, we do betray Jesus. And I believe communion is a time where we can ask God for forgiveness and come clean to Him. And if you guys have anything that you want to come clean with God right now, just take a moment of silence, pray to Him, ask Him for forgiveness. Everything you've done in our lives, and just thank you for communion, for reminding us we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, just to get closer to you and not be away from you. We give you all the thanks and praises in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. You ready to sing on one more song? We're going to stand. So would you stand with us? before we sing our last song, I just need to give you this bit of news. Okay, our brother Charles, our conga player, guitarist, bass player, his wife passed away, not this past year, but the Thursday before. She's in heaven now. She was really suffering a lot. And finally, Thursday, the Lord called her home. Services for his wife Jeannie is today at 1 o'clock at Dodo Mortuary, if any of you want to pay your respects to him. But please keep the family in prayer. All right, they have a whole bunch of children and foster children and grandchildren that really miss her. But it's kind of like a relief because she was suffering so much with liver and kidney problems. So please pray for them. And if you can, join us this afternoon at 1 o'clock. All right, Pastor Aaron, take it away.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a minute. I just wanted to share. Sorry I'm disrupting. I just always want to share sometimes when I feel I have to. And Pastor always encouraged me to do that. Yeah. And what I wanted to share is what the message that he gave today about asking. I remember a time when Christy used to come to our church before, and she used to pray, ask us to pray, and she asked us to pray for Pastor Scott. And look at here, now, he's our pastor. So God answers prayers and he does miracles.
Yes.
And I encourage all of you to don't be afraid when you want to ask. Ask because God provides. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's take it out today, going singing, Be Bold.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.